heading into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts.
Sing it again.
And up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the dark. God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God, we lift up one voice. To our God, we lift up one song. To our God, we lift up one voice, we're singing hallelujah. Have been broken, eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise, and death is defeated. We are victorious, for you are alive. So to our God, and to our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're singing hallelujah.
Glorious, glorious. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. God, I pray that we would worship you with everything that we have this morning, Lord. Whatever it looks like, whatever we can give you, God, I pray that it would just be everything, God. Even if we're weak today, even if we don't have much to give today, even if we feel like we don't have enough to praise you, God. As long as we praise you with everything, God, that's all you're looking for. So I ask that we would give you everything this morning. That we would look to only you this morning. That our eyes would only be on you, God. You are beautiful, God. We love you, Lord.
For the music changes in the songs we sing. We still lift our praises to our loving God and King. Though the music changes in the songs we sing, we still lift our praises to our loving God and King. And to our loving God and
your love remains, though the seasons change. dawn that is breaking within me. You
emotions when you pull me close. No, I won't resist it. Here is all my love. It's yours. No conditions when you pull me close. No, I won't resist it. Here is all my love. It's yours. No conditions when you pull me close. No, I won't resist it. Here is all my love. It's yours. No conditions when you pull me close. No, I won't resist it. No, I won't resist it. No, it's extravagant. It doesn't make sense. We'll never comprehend the way you love us. It's unthinkable. Only heaven knows just how far you go. Thank you, God, for your love, Lord. Thank you for your peace in this place. Thank you that we can rest when we're with you, Lord. We love you. We give you all our attention. We give you all our love this morning. You are beautiful, God. Amen. Amen.
Celebrate 30 years of Harvest Crusades at Angel Stadium. These events are designed to bring non-believers to. So think of someone you know right now that is not yet a Christian. And here are the three things you need to do. Number one, pray. Pray for your non-Christian friend. Pray for them by name. Get your Christian friends together to pray for that person as well. Before you do anything, pray that God would open their spiritual eyes and show them their need for Jesus. Number two, invite. After you've prayed for them, it's time to extend the invitation. So number one, pray. Number two, invite. Then three, bring them. Don't send them, bring them. You say, you're coming with me. I will be there with you. Pray, invite, bring. Let's all do this together for God's glory. I'll see you at the SoCal Harvest.
So the SoCal Harvest is this coming weekend. Yay. Like, we've been talking about it for so many weeks now. It's actually here. So, like he said, like, just invite your friends, invite family. I'd love to see every single one of us that is here right now there. We will try and save as many seats as we can so we all can sit together. So if you can, contact somebody here that, like, with their phone number or something so we can all meet. Doors will be opening an hour before. So on Saturday, I believe it's at 6:30 the doors will open, and then the service starts at 7:30, and then after on Sunday it's opening at 5:30 and the service starts at 6:30. So just come. It's an awesome event. It's 30 years now. That's crazy. That it's just so huge, and like, he's such an impactful person. So just come out, invite people that are unbelievers. James, you can go to the next. Huh? For Wednesday nights. Okay. Yeah. Saturday and Sunday we'll be there. Saturday's more youth night, so if parents don't like the loud music or something, then just have a youth talk to one of us and we can figure out rides. It's a really pumped up night. Sunday is more towards family, so it's like whatever families want to do. Wednesday nights, we have youth and family. We're trying to get everyone out to come to this awesome time. So prayer is at 6:30, and the youth will be fellowshipping at 6:30. So sometimes we have food and we play ping pong. Pastor Mike is just awesome when he speaks. So come out, bring people. There's a Bible study for adults and youth at 7:30. So we both start and try to end around the same time. Sometimes we finish earlier youth, so it's not that long for you guys. But it's just really fun and cool, and just come out and enjoy your time.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. You know, in this very confused world, it's really, really good to see a Lakers fan. Thank you so much for presenting. You guys thought I was going to say something deep and, you know, spiritual, but I couldn't help it. You know, people are talking about the Clippers and all of that. Come on, don't be confused. It's a Lakers town. Why don't you say hi to someone really quick and then we'll get started. Greet someone, welcome them to church. Especially my guy right here with the Lakers. Yes, Joseph is back for maybe a couple of days. It's so funny. When I say hello to someone, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're going to get to know each other and talk about our... Just say hi, like quick hi and then sit down. That's all it takes. It doesn't work with us. See, this side right here know what they do. They said hi, they sat down. But the Middle Eastern side, they don't know how to do that. You know, like, have you ever tried to get off the phone with a Middle Eastern person? It's like five byes, five salam, like, you know, and like about 20 say hi to this person. And say, you can say that later. I mean, you could have said that during the conversation, but no. It has to be either at the door as they're leaving or as they're saying goodbye on the phone. That's just one of our defaults. Pray for us. Before I get started, do we have anyone that we need to dismiss? Any children that need to go to Sunday school? Julie? I mean, do we have... No, I'm not saying that you need to be dismissed. I'm saying that you know, if you know anyone here. Only one. Okay, so it's only one verse that I'm going to share with you in the beginning. And then we're going to read a lot. And if James can help me or anyone on the PowerPoint, I didn't give you anything. But, you know, if you can pull. But it's James, you know, you don't have to give him anything in advance. The verse that came to mind, and before I get to the verse, I have a confession to make and a request as well. The confession to make is every time I preached, every time I came to church to speak, I just wanted to get it over with. The anxiety that I have, the pain that I have, the week leading to, because I'm so worried and I'm so scared that I will mess up, that even though I know God is speaking to me and trying to give me a word to deliver to the church or to deliver to my brothers and sisters, but because of my own issues, because I don't like public speaking, I don't like to be, you know, in that, like everyone, like you guys are looking at me right now, it's stressing me out. So if you can look somewhere else, it will be great. Just kidding. So that fact makes me, and I'm confessing this because God spoke to me about this morning. It makes me just want to get it over with. I just want to do my part. I want to deliver the message how it is. And then I'm done. But I want you, number one, to forgive me for that attitude. Truly forgive me for that attitude, because I had to pray and confess that to God, and I had to receive healing from God. Okay? Because that's not what's on His heart. What's on His heart is for all of us as brothers and sisters to come here. It doesn't matter who's speaking and who's listening. As long as we are all in one spirit wanting to follow God and worship God and truly, truly follow Him, not just here in church, but after church as well. On Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I don't know why Wednesday exists, but Wednesday is a day that we still need to follow God. It's in the middle of the week. Doesn't make sense, but it's still there. And we need to still follow God that day, you know? So today my prayer is that I would not let my own issues and my own fear, you know, stop me from seeing God's work through. Not through what I'm saying, but through what He promised, through what He really wants to do with our day. With that being said, here is a verse that we're going to start with today. And the verse is found in Isaiah 55:8. The verse is very simple, and a lot of you might know it. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, your ways are my ways," declares the Lord. God is trying to tell you and to tell me, I know that you have a certain set of thoughts and ways of doing things and thinking about things. They're not necessarily mine, you know? And let's just disagree on that until we find a place to agree. This is just an opening. And I Wednesday morning when I was praying about today, I was going to continue what I started 2 weeks ago or three, I don't know, like a month ago, when I last time I preached. And I really wanted to go through what other options do we have if we don't enter into God's promises. Because I didn't really get to finish my message, so I was going to finish it today. But God kind of changed the whole thing on me into answers to unanswered or delayed prayers or requests. A lot of times we have prayers. A lot of times we make requests known to God. A lot of times we come and seek God and say, we need you in this area and we need you in this place. And I'm not talking about things like, oh Lord, I want to win the lottery. No, that's an obvious no. No, you don't need that. That's going to mess you up. That's not going to help you. No, I'm talking about valid, legitimate things that we ask from God. Like when a father comes to God, to Jesus, and say, I need you to come with me, heal my daughter. Okay? That's a legitimate request. This is not something luxurious he's asking for. That is a need that any father would feel the pain of this man. Right? I'm talking about something that is so hurtful if it's not listened, if it's not answered, or if God doesn't give it to us. I'm talking about these things that true and legitimate needs. I'm not talking about something that we just come up with all of a sudden, something that we've been praying for, something that we even received a word for, something that we know that knowing God, knowing how much He loves us, knowing how generous He is, knowing that how much He cares about us, He should be listening to us. Or He should be answering these prayers. Do you ever get any of those moments where you say, I know you. I know you love me. I know you care for me. And based on that, I'm asking. And it seems like you're not listening. It seems like you're not paying attention to me. That's what we're talking about. Answers to unanswered prayers, or answers to delayed prayers. Not giving myself credit, not saying that I know those answers, but through the Word of God, through what Jesus went through day by day with individuals and families just like you and me, we can figure out why God waited a little bit, or why God didn't respond to those prayers or requests. And I'm going to start with the crowd's request to anoint Him as king. Okay? And we're going to go through it together in John chapter 6 verse 15. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is coming into the world." Jesus, listen to this. Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make Him king by force, withdrew again to the mountain by Himself. So the first need that we're looking at here, we need you to become king. This is the Israelite. At this time, they were invaded and they were occupied by who? By the Romans, right? And all of a sudden, they see this man who comes, he's feeding thousands, he's healing the sick, he's raising the dead, he's doing all these amazing things, and they look at him and they say, that's it. We have been looking for a king for so long to rule over Israel, and we found him, and let's reign him as a king. It sounds legitimate. It sounds like a good plan. Who wouldn't want that? Okay? And if you apply this to our life right now, who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want Jesus to be king or the president of the United States? Who wouldn't want Jesus to be the ruler? Who wouldn't want that? We all want it, right? But why didn't Jesus respond? Why didn't Jesus wait and say, yes, why don't you go ahead and make me a king? Why did Jesus reject the kingship over Israel at that time? Why didn't he use his power to defeat the Romans? Why didn't he use his power to heal all the sick and to make everyone believe? Why isn't he doing this right now in our country, in our society? Why isn't he doing this right now in our families? Why isn't Jesus taking action? Why isn't he changing our circumstances? Do you ask these questions? You know, there is a question that's all, if you're a Christian and if you make your faith, you know, if you claim your faith all the time and there are people that don't believe in God, we always ask this. If God does exist, why do we have wars? If God does exist, why do we have famines? If God does exist, why does cancer exist? Why is God allowing all of this to happen if he is present? If he is around? If you're saying that God is love, why isn't he involved? This is the same thing, except 2,000 years later, put in different words. They wanted Jesus to come and just fix all of their problems. Let me ask you, and be honest, did they have legitimate needs? Absolutely. Do we have legitimate needs right now? Absolutely. Do we sometimes say that Jesus withdrew himself? Be honest. No, be honest. Sometimes we do. Sometimes we say it. Because we're not seeing what Jesus is seeing. Because we're not looking at the full pictures. And I'm going to get to that right now. I'm not leaving you there. They were just fed. They were just healed. And based on their physical needs and present needs, they chose Jesus. But that's not how he works. Jesus doesn't work with us because he performed a miracle or two. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the cities he performed the most miracles were the ones that did not what? Believe. Because we can quickly forget the meal we just had. We can quickly forget the miracle that he just performed in our heart or in our families. We can quickly forget his grace and goodness on our lives. We can quickly forget that unless our hearts are full of that. See, when Jesus came, he wasn't looking to reign over Israel. He was looking to reign over the hearts of the Israel. He is not looking to be the president of the United States or the president of Egypt or Mexico. He is looking to be in the heart of every American, every Egyptian, every Mexican, every Chinese. He is looking to be in the heart of every single one of us. But what they wanted to do, they wanted to make him someone who fixes the outside. While Jesus is coming to do what? Fix the inside first. This is why Jesus withdrew. And this is why we look around and say, where is Jesus? He's trying to exist. He's trying to be here. But we want him to be in government. We want him to be in all these big places, and that's fine. But he's trying to get to the hearts, our hearts first. And that's what we're missing. Jesus can come and can change things. He can come and can change the society. He can come and change the government that we have. He can come and change anyone and anything. He can. I believe 100% that He can, but He cannot just do it without us. He wants to use us. Listen to this. He wants to reign on your heart. In Ezekiel 11:19, listen to what the Word of God says. I will give them an undivided heart, and I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove the hard stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. Jesus is looking at your heart and my heart and their heart, and He's seeing that those hearts are divided. He's seeing that my heart is following money, is following fame, is following lust, is following dreams, is following this and this and this and this. That's not a heart ready for Jesus to be reigned over. He offered to come and dwell in this heart, to live in this heart, and make it an undivided heart. A heart that is fully committed to God, so that when I am thinking, what I am thinking throughout the day, I am thinking how to be in the will of God. How can I follow God? How can I bless my wife? How can I raise my children according to God? Not according to what I want. Listen to this. He promised, when Jesus was in the synagogue one of the days, He opened the book of Isaiah and started reading, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, and to the oppressed to give them freedom." Jesus is coming with a specific mission for each individual. While we trying to make Him just take us, all of us, you know, and just change everything, you do it, we're just going to watch, it doesn't work that way. He's coming for a personal relationship with every single one of us. And it's not, we're not going to be able to change society. We're not going to be able to make Jesus king over our country or over their country unless He lives in our heart. Was there prosperity in the days of Solomon? Did they have prosperity back then? Absolutely. That silver didn't have, you know, a value. Like if you saw some silver, you know, in the street, you wouldn't even look at it. They were so rich. Did that make them follow God? They still went away. You know, if you look at throughout the history, prosperity never made people follow God. Wellness never made people follow God. You're only gonna follow God. He's only gonna reign over your life by your own choice when He reigns over your heart. And then Jesus comes to them and says, John 14:6, Jesus answers and tells them, "I am the way." How do we do that, Lord? How can You reign over our lives? How can You reign over our country? How can You reign over our family? Here it is. "I am the way, the truth, and life." I am the way to live that life that God intended for you. Because I am the truth about the Father. I am the truth about God. You've heard so many lies about God. There are so many gods all over the place that you don't even know who is who. But I am the truth about God, because I know the life of God. And I can give you that life as well. I am here walking on this ground, walking on this earth with you, living the life of God. So when Jesus withdrew that day, didn't mean to be not involved, but He wants to switch their attention from the kingdom of Israel to the kingdom of their heart. Instead of reigning over Israel, no, I want to reign over your heart. I want to reign over your heart. And guess what? When He reigns over their heart and our heart, in Matthew 14, it says, "You are the light," what? "Of the world." Imagine if this room was completely dark. Completely dark. And then we bring a candle and we walk in. What happens to the room? you'll see light. Imagine in your workplace, when it's completely dark, when the enemy is in complete control over every soul that you have in your workplace, and you come in with the light of God, you come in, what happens to that place? They see something new. They see something fresh. This is what Jesus was trying to do when he was here on earth. He was trying to send his disciples. He's trying to send us right now as that light. He is trying to use every single one of us as that light to wherever we go. Your workplace, your gym, your church, your family, your cousins, whoever it is and wherever you go, Jesus is trying to use you and me to do what? To light. And this is when his kingdom comes. We pray this all the time. Your kingdom comes. Your will. How is his kingdom going to come? He is using you and me for his kingdom to come. For his kingdom, for his thoughts, for his love, for his grace, for his mercy, for his ways to come to that place you're at. While we're still trying to be like the Israelites, just reign. Just be a king. Okay, great. I want to be a king. How am I going to be a king without you? Can you be my disciple? Can you be my child? Can you be my light in this place? Can you? That's a question for us to answer. And then another request was asked of Jesus in Matthew 12. Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but but none will be given it, given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Here's another request, whatever you want to call it, that we could ask Jesus, and he also didn't answer. Didn't give them what they want. First, they wanted him to reign over Israel, while he wants to reign over the hearts of the Israelites. We want him to reign over our country, while he's trying to reign over our hearts first and use us to be the light. Now, the Pharisees are asking, why don't you show us a sign? Show us what you can do, and maybe we will follow you. Show us how good you are, and then we'll decide. Those are the same people that just a few days ago called him that he's the disciple of Satan or disciple of the devil, and that's how he's casting out demons, right? Now they're coming to him and saying, show us a sign. Show us what you can do for us. And then Jesus looks at them, knowing their hearts, knowing that they're not really looking to be changed. They're not really looking, but I'm just going to extend some mercy to them. Okay, and say, let's see if they really have a need. This is a group of people that have been taught the same thing over and over and over again. They have been so stuck in their ways for years and years and years. It's so hard to change them. It's so hard to have them open their eyes. So just like we all have our issues, we all have our sickness, let's extend some mercy and grace and say, let's follow that thread. Let's see where it's going to lead us. And Jesus looks at them and says, this is an adulterous and wicked generation. And it's very hard to find Jesus say these words, right? Because he's always full of grace and mercy. But he doesn't leave it there. He tells them, you want a sign? Here's your sign. I want you to remember the prophet Jonah. What do you guys remember about Jonah? Remember Jonah? Fish, Jonah. 3 days. So he tells them, why would Jesus bring up the prophet Jonah and being in the belly of the fish for 3 days? And, why would he bring that up? Jesus wants to show them, you want a sign? Here is the greatest sign that I'm going to give you. You want a miracle? Is that what you've been asking God for in this season? Lord, I want to see a miracle. I want to see something in my life. I want to see you and I will believe in you. I want to see you and I will speak about you. I want to see you and I will follow you. Here is your sign. Your sign, even though we are a wicked and a sinful generation, Jesus chose to come to earth, die on the cross, stay in the grave for 3 days, and rise, defeating every enemy we have, to give us freedom and to give us a new life. Here is your sign. You want something to hold on to, you want something to say that I finally can see God working for me, I finally can see God caring for me, I can finally see that God loves me. Look at His birth. Here is a miracle that you can take home with you today. God coming, living on earth, here is a miracle that you can take home today. And no one can take that away from you. You want to know how much He loves you? Take a look at the cross and see how much He loves you. Here is a miracle, another one you can take home today. You want to see how much you are forgiving? He said, it's done. Do you want to see the power of Jesus? The same power that raised Him from the dead is the same power that's living here with us and is willing to raise you from your death. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave, that's the song we sing all the time, that same exact power is ready to change something in your life today. Is ready to change something in my life today. If you have been waiting for a miracle in your life, God has been giving you this miracle over and over and over. You just haven't been paying attention to it. The story of Prophet Jonah, has been what? They've known about it for years and years and years. This was nothing but a symbol of what Jesus is about to do. And this is nothing but a symbol of what Jesus did to us. Dying on the cross, raising from the dead to give us life. Is it enough for us that the King of Kings decided to leave His throne and come here as a poor child? Is that enough proof for us or no? Is it enough for us that He would agree for the pain and suffering that you and I should take and should receive, that He agreed to take it upon Himself? Is that proof enough of His love to us? Is that good enough of a sign? Is that good enough of a miracle? Or do we still need more miracles? Is that good enough of a proof that He cares for us? They asked Him for a sign, and He said, here is your sign. If you're asking for a sign, let's use those signs. Let's use those miracles. Let's talk about them. Let's believe in them. Let's live in them. When I go through difficult times, I have a set of questions. Not that I ask myself, but I ask the devil. Because when I go through difficult times, he comes to me and asks, psh, you blew it again. Or he's not really listening to you, or he doesn't care. So I ask him these set of questions. Number one, what can you do about my salvation? I'm talking to the devil right now, okay? What can you do about my salvation? Can you take that away from me? Absolutely not. What can you do about the cross? Can you change what happened to you at the cross? Can you change the defeat you had at the cross? Is there like a redo for you? Absolutely not. Can you change the power of the resurrection? Can you change when Jesus defeated death, my biggest enemy? Can you change that? Absolutely not. Then you have nothing else to say to me. Then you have nothing else to say to me. I'm going through a financial problem? Who cares? I'm going through problems with the kids? Oh, I have two angels. One of them is here. I ask these questions to him to shut up and for me to reassure myself of who I am and what God has done for me. Romans 5:6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, had no power, Christ died for the ungodly, for me. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. Yeah. If a father sees his son in trouble, or someone is pointing a gun at his son, he might jump in front of that bullet. No problem. I can believe that. But this is not the case here. But God, listen to this, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Here is your sign. Here is your miracle. I'm not sure what you've been waiting for. I'm not sure what miracle you've been waiting for to share with others, to share about the faith of God, your faith in God. Have you shared this miracle yet? Have you shared this miracle with people around you? Have you believed in this miracle? Are you happy with this miracle? Are you still enjoying this miracle? Or is it something that you only celebrate December and April? Or Jesus didn't give them what they want because he had something much deeper and more meaningful. Sometimes he doesn't give you what you want because he wants you to enjoy what he's already done for you on the cross. Then, the example that I used earlier today. Listen to this. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, and said, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" The story is found in many of the three of the Gospels. Mark 5 is where I'm reading from right now. A man by name Jairus, he was the leader of the synagogue, came to Jesus asking him to come home with him to heal his daughter. She was very sick. And he said, "Come with me, heal my daughter." There was a lot of crowd. Someone touched Jesus. Jesus stood up and asked, "What happened? Who touched me?" And it was this whole like chapter that you can read. And then while they're still there, someone comes and says, "Your daughter is dead." At this point, like, we know the story, we know the rest of the story, but Jairus doesn't know. At this verse, at this moment, this man did not know. All what he knew is Jesus didn't come through for him. Right? All he can hear is, "Your daughter is dead. The teacher is late. Jesus is late. So your daughter is dead." That's all he can hear at that moment. You and I hear this all the time. While we are waiting for Jesus to come through, while we are waiting for God to come through for us and help us, we hear these voices all the time. "It's over. It's over. It's over." And that journey from that moment, I don't know how long it was, that journey from that moment until they reached the house, call it half an hour, a week, a year for some of us, 10 years. It took Joseph 13 years to, from when he dreamed until he, reached the position that God gave him or told him that he will have. That moment becomes the life-changing moment for Jairus. And I'm going to walk you through it right now. We're going to take it one step at a time. From the moment he heard it until the moment Jesus answered what he came to him for. And hopefully that you can take this to your own life, and I can take this to my own life and apply it to every time we felt it's over. Jesus, the Jairus doesn't have to say anything anymore. He came to him once and said, "Come help me." While he's waiting for Jesus to come, the news comes that it's over. Jesus looks at him and says, he doesn't even say anything to Jesus. The Bible says, overhearing them, Jesus heard the news that you heard. Jesus heard the rejection that you heard. Jesus heard the bad news that you just received. He saw what you have been dealt. He saw the report that you were just handed. He saw it all and he heard it all. And before you say a word, Jesus gives him a statement of a lifetime. Not only for this occasion, but for the rest of his life. Jesus looks at him and says, "Do not be afraid, just believe." He did not say, "Do not be afraid, I'm going to raise your daughter." He did not say, "Just believe, I'm going to raise your daughter." He did not even mention his daughter. All he did is gave him a signed blank check. That's what you need. What you and I need, not just help for our current situation, we need to hold on to the Word of God and use it for the rest of our lives. We need to hold on to a promise from God and use it whenever we feel like we have to use it. Let me give you this illustration I thought of. Let's say it's the beginning of the month. Okay? I have to go pay my rent. I need $1,000 for my rent. Okay? And I come to Pastor Mike and say, Pastor Mike, I am in trouble. I don't have money to pay my rent. I need $1,000. Pastor Mike looks at me and he goes, no, you need a lot more than that. Right now, you're just focused on your rent. But you need to pay your utility bills. You need to pay your cell phone. You need to pay for food. You need to pay for this and this and this and this. I'm not sure how much you need, but here's a blank check. Whatever you need, just take it. But I came to him for one thing and one thing only. But being the wise, generous man he is, he knows that I'm blinded by my current need. And I'm not seeing my whole need. I'm not seeing everything that I need. But thank you, Jesus, for knowing and seeing everything I need. And that's why he gave him that promise. He gave him that promise so he can take it and apply it not only when the girl's sick, but when the girl needs to get married, when the girl is having babies, when the girl's having problems with her, you know, her husband one day, when the girl's having problems with her child, when he has problems in his household in general, any problem that you have a signed blank promise from God. Do not be afraid. Just believe. Jairus came for one thing and one thing only, and he left with everything. Jairus came and said, Lord Jesus, here is my plan for you. I want you to come to my house, touch my daughter, lay hands on my daughter, okay, and she will be healed. That's his faith. That's his belief. Great, right? Wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. Number one, Jesus wanted to give him a statement for the rest of his life. And number two, he didn't want to just touch this little girl. The Bible says he went into her room, he held her by her hands, he spoke to her, directly spoke to her, he rose her up, and then he walked with her. See, you're coming to God and saying, here is what I need. I need you to just do this little thing for me. Okay, just a little, you know, snap of a finger, and that's not what God does. He's looking for a relationship. He's looking to hold you. He's looking to speak to you. He's looking to raise you up from whatever pit that you're in, whatever problem, whatever habit you're in, whatever it is that you're in. He's looking to raise you up by holding you by the hands and making you walk out of it. That girl was dead on her bed. Jesus went, held her, spoke to her, made her arise, and started walking away from what was holding her. I know that you think you know more than God. I know. Trust me, I've been there before. Okay? But hopefully today we can trust that he knows a lot more than we do, especially in the area of our needs. Jesus went and healed her, spoke to her, took them, and he made this from another touching a sick to be healed into a life testimony, not just for the girl, but for her father and for her family. Then another situation where Jesus didn't respond, or Jesus didn't answer someone's request. You can go to Mark chapter 9, and you'll see this strange thing that happened. So the first thing, let's just refresh really quick. The first thing, when the Israelites want him to just be king over everything, while he's intended to be what? A king over your heart. And he's intending for you and I to be light to the world. So his kingdom will come through who? Through us. Okay? Number two, when you've been asking, or they've been asking for a sign all of their lives, and they're forgetting about the biggest miracle and the biggest sign that Jesus showed to all of us. Coming to earth, dying on the cross for us, giving us the power to live the life that he has for us. And number three, that he doesn't answer right away, or he doesn't answer in the way we expect him to answer, because he has something better. Because he knows our needs a lot more and a lot better than we know our own needs. And then number four I want to talk to you about is, it's found in Mark chapter 9. Jesus took Peter and two other disciples up in the mountains to pray. And there, Jesus was transferred. We call it the, what's that? There it is. Okay, so his face started lighting up. Him as a whole started lighting up. And they heard the voice from heaven saying that this is my beloved son, right? And Peter comes to Jesus saying, Rabbi, it's good that we are here. Why don't we build three shelters? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Jesus didn't even answer. okay. Okay, so why don't you take a seat? So why is this? Why do we have complete silence sometime from God? It's not like him. Why do we have complete silence and he doesn't answer this thing? Like Peter is saying something, and let me tell you, I love Peter, okay? It's coming out of love, right? He's like, okay, I'm in this place where Jesus is here, Moses is there, Elijah's there, so you have Jesus, you have Moses who represents the law, and you have Elijah who represents the prophet. This is an amazing place. So if David and his son Solomon were able to build the house for God, I obviously can't build the house right now, so why don't I just build the shelter for God? You know, I want to build a shelter for Jesus, and I want to build a shelter for Moses, and one for Elijah, and my name is going to go down in the history as the person who built the shelters for these three godly, powerful, spiritual men, right? Jesus doesn't answer. In a moment of emotions, when we're not really controlling what we're seeing, see, when I see something like that, when I see God revealing himself to me, okay, there is a moment for everything. That moment was supposed to be for Peter to get on his knees and worship God and praise God. But instead, he turned this moment into his own moment of doing something, of working on something. One of the biggest mistakes, and I noticed this morning as I speak, and God is my witness, and I noticed it today, that the days I preach, I can't enjoy worship. You know why? Because I'm sitting during worship while I'm supposed to be worshiping. This is truly, truly what I was feeling. The first song you guys were, because I like the song and I want to worship with you. But my mind keeps going through my message, because I'm trying to remember, to remind myself, because I know that the second I get over here, I forget everything. Are any of you bad test takers? I'm a really bad test taker. Like I can memorize things, I can study hard, and the second I get in front of the question, I forget everything. That's me, and that's what happens to me when I come to preach. So before church, during the ride here, all I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to memorize, I'm trying to remind myself of what I'm going to speak about. And I noticed that I couldn't enjoy worship because I'm too busy trying to think about what I'm going to speak about. Peter was supposed to worship at that time. There is time for everything. There is time for you to worship. For there is time for you to be still before God. And there is time for you to do work. That moment in their life, they were supposed to be still. That moment, they were supposed to worship God and enjoy the revelation that God just gave them. They are meeting face to face with God himself. They are meeting face to face with the ruler of the universe, who spoke everything into existence. Peter, by speaking, you know, emotionally, and by asking for something that shouldn't be asked for at that time. He misses out on this moment of worshiping God. Not only that, but his plan was, let's just build some shelters, and it's great that we are here. Let's just build some shelters, and we're going to stay here for a minute. While Jesus had to rush back down, because if you read the verses after, Mark 9:14, when they came down to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed, because Jesus was still in his glory. They were overwhelmed because of Jesus' glory while Peter was trying to build a tent for God. They were overwhelmed, and then Jesus, a man in the crowd, answered, I brought my son to you, and your disciples couldn't heal her. This is the time to work. This is the time for Jesus to do what he can do. This is the time for Jesus, number one, to help his disciples, because the Pharisees and everyone else was arguing with them because they couldn't heal the boy. And you hear these voices, if you're a disciple of Jesus, how come you couldn't do that? Or if you're a disciple of Jesus, how come your life is not showing that? Then maybe Jesus is not real. Maybe Christianity is not real. Does that ever happen to you? It happens to me all the time. You know, if you can't do this, if you can't live up to that standard, then you must be not a Christian at all. And the doubts start storming into your heart and into your mind. But Jesus comes down right away for the help. For the help of the disciples, for the help for that man whose child is being tormented by an evil spirit, for that boy himself that was possessed by demons for so many years. Sometimes God doesn't answer a prayer or a request because we're asking in the wrong place. Because we're supposed to be somewhere else. We're supposed to be worshiping instead of asking. We're supposed to be on our knees receiving revelation from God and knowing who God really is. But instead, we switch that moment into something completely different. Does that make sense or am I not clear? They were supposed to worship God. And after they fulfilled their lives, I wonder if Peter and the other disciples sat down, got on their knees, and worshiped God and met with God. What happened to Moses when he was up in the mountains meeting with God? What would happen to him? He's changed, okay? He changes. And when he comes down, what happened? There's a little bit of residue, right? There's a little bit of shining in the man's face, right? Right? That's how the Israelites knew that he was where? Meeting with God. What makes this so different? This could have been the same thing. Peter and the other two disciples could have had their face shine just like Moses did, because now they're up in the mountains meeting with Jesus himself. Meeting with God and Jesus, and as Jesus transformed, why couldn't you get some of that light on you? Why couldn't you get some of that glory on you? And it's okay. It's okay. Take that glory and then go spread it around. But right now, because you're worried about something completely meaningless, completely not in the picture, you're missing out on the glory that God is trying to give you, and you're delaying your upcoming mission. That's what Peter is trying to do. And that's what we try to do all the time. Church, let's enjoy the glory of God when we have it. Let's enjoy it when we have it. When God is revealing something to us, enjoy it. Dwell in it. Take it. Like really take it. Like dwell in it. Like, you know? I don't know. What's the word that I'm trying to find? Like really, really, really take that in. Let it change you. And don't worry. Work is coming. Don't worry. School is coming. Don't worry. The list is not going to go anywhere. But you're going to come down ready and you're going to overwhelm people by what you can do. Because you enjoyed the glory of God. Dean is looking at the clock, which means that I'm running out of time. Finally, the last one of the other things that Jesus didn't answer was this. Mark 8:31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. And he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. And then in another place, in Matthew, it's in Matthew 27:38, two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourselves." And here is that one that here's another thing he didn't answer. "Come down from the cross. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." The priests were asking him to come down from the cross. Pilate was asking him to do something so he can let him go, not to go to the cross. Herod was asking for a sign so he can also let him free and not go to the cross. The disciples didn't want him to go to the cross. Almost everyone did not want Jesus to go to the cross. And to every single one of them, there is one verse that always shines in my heart that says, "For the joy that was set before him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the suffering. He endured the pain." There is one thing I can guarantee you, Jesus is not going to answer. He is not going to answer coming down from that cross. He is not going to answer not taking that, not taking that road. Because you know why? Because you are, and I am, his joy. Because you are, your salvation means so much to him. My salvation means so much to him that makes him so happy that the cross is a joyful place for him. It's painful. It's suffering. He will be forsaking. He will be betrayed. He will be not like, the Father is not going to listen to him. It was everything horrible that can happen will happen at that cross. However, there is one thing that has to happen. Your freedom and my freedom. Your salvation and my salvation. So if you're going to accept Jesus, you have to put up with the cross. You have to accept the cross. You have to carry the cross as well. Because when you're carrying that cross, two things happen in your heart. Number one, you will remember what he did for you. And number two, you will learn how to give yourself. You will learn how to crucify your desires. You will learn how to crucify your needs. You will learn how to align yourself with God, that it will be no longer you who lives, but Christ lives in you. But it has to start with the first one. The first one, you have to realize what he did for you. You have to realize that Jesus did actually die on the cross for you, that he did take your sins away. He will not come down from that cross. I hope that today, if you have an unanswered prayer or an unanswered request or need, I hope that you can find courage to wait. I hope you can find courage to ask if your need or if your prayer is aligned with him, or this is something that you just, that you think you need, but it's not really what you need. I hope that you have the faith that what God can see you need, your need is much greater than what you actually have or what actually you're asking for. Just like Jairus. I can't stop thinking about this. He came for one thing and he left with what? With everything. Let's pray. Let's pray and take a few minutes right now. Let's take a few minutes, and if you've been upset with God for not answering a prayer, you need to thank him instead of being upset with him. you need to thank Him for waiting. Or you need to thank Him for trying to teach you what really matters. He gave you a great miracle already. The miracle of the cross. The miracle of the virgin birth. The miracle of the resurrection. The miracle of the new life. The miracle of the new creation. The miracle of eternal life. The miracle of no longer being a slave to the kingdom of darkness. He gave you so many miracles. And He's trying to reveal Himself to you today. Not asking you to do anything right now. He's just asking you, he's asking you to enjoy His glory. To be in His presence. To speak to Him. To let Him speak to you. To hear His voice. He keeps saying that this is my Son. He keeps saying that I'm knocking on your door. He keeps trying to speak to you while you're worried about doing something. You're missing out on the things that you can do or you should do, and you're missing out on this moment. This sweet, wonderful moment between you and Him. You want Him to reign over our world? That's wonderful. But it has to start with your heart. It has to start with your thoughts. It has to start with your actions. You have to be that light. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of anything. Do not be afraid of anything. Just believe in Him. Just believe that He can. Just believe that He paid for it. Just believe that you are His child. Just believe that He loves you. Just believe that He died on the cross for you, that took away all of your sins. Just believe. And if you can't believe, ask Him to help your unbelief. He can do that as well. His ways are completely different. His thoughts are completely different than ours and yours. That's what makes Him God. They dared Him to come down from that cross. They dared Him. But He wouldn't. Not because He was enjoying it. It was full of pain and suffering and insults. But because of what that cross will bring. The cross will bring you salvation, will bring you life. His death brought us life. My prayer is that you take this with you and ask God to engrave it on your heart. Take one verse or two. Take one story or two. Take one promise or two. Just take something today. Don't leave empty-handed. Take something from Him today. You choose. But don't just leave empty-handed, please.
Go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. You come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. Go before I know that you've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes our greatest defense. It leads me
Better your way, and I'll lay
Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for your grace, God, that we can always come running back to you, no matter where we've been and what we've done. God, that you're our Father, that you're not our corrector, that you're not our person in charge, Lord, but you're just our Father. You just want us to be with you wherever we are, however we are, however we come to you. You open your arms up wide and you just want to love us, Lord. And I thank you for that. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy, God. I ask that we would just be with you for the rest of this week, that we would be close to you, that we would look to you, that our hearts would be with you, Lord. You're everything that we need, Lord. We love you. We give you everything that we have. In your name I pray. Amen.